Okay, hi everybody. Welcome back. This is to week four, weekly Ask John calling session. This is when, if you want to call in and talk to me, especially about the last session that we had or any questions, anything you want to talk to me about, this is the time to do it. And we've got some toll-free numbers that you can call. In the U.S., it's 877-662-3716. That's 877-662-3716. In Australia, it's 1-800-646-289. If you call in that number and you want to ask a question, you have to press 1 to put your hand up. That way we know that that you're there and that you have questions. There were a couple of callers from last week we didn't get to that if you guys want to call in this week, we can take first Robin from Queensland, Tracy from San Diego, Carol from California. If you guys want to call in, we'll put your questions in a priority because I told you that last week we would do that for you. And when we have a couple of callers online now with questions, but I want to bring Neil in. We've got a lot of questions from last week's class that Neil's going to go over with us. Neil, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, John. How are you doing?
Great. Yeah, a couple of things I want to say about the last class. Just from the feedback we've been getting from in the forum and also from the emails, I think for most people it really, really touched a chord. And I personally was happy with last class too because there's a lot of very valuable techniques that are there that can help you resolve any type of emotional obesity or stress issues. And let's face it, emotional obesity and stress, they really just come down to fear and how safe you feel. If you're feeling safe, you're going to feel less stress. If you're feeling safe, you're going to have less emotional obesity, which is less of a need to have weight in order to feel protected and feel safe. So it's really about feeling safe. The visualizations that we did last week are great for feeling safe. And people have been writing in and just really happy and very positive feedback that we've been getting. A couple of people also had come in. I think it kind of touched the chord, and they said, "Well, you know, I don't have money for a therapist." For example, they say that, and fair enough. If you don't have money for a therapist, that's okay. The visualizations that we did are powerful visualizations, and if you listen to that morning visualization every morning this week, it's going to have a really powerful effect in helping your body feel safe. So that's why I created that visualization. So if you don't have money for a therapist, fine. I still say the same thing. Listen to the evening visualization. Listen to the morning visualization. It will address the issue. But I also want to say that if you look at the grand scheme of your life and how much tremendous benefit that can be gained from working through issues that are holding you back, you'd find that you probably do have the money for a therapist because when you think about it, when you have traumatic and stressful situations in your life, number one, they're causing you to gain weight. So if they're causing you to gain weight, that's already costing more money because you're spending more money on food because your body's eating more than it otherwise would need. So you're spending more money on food. So you're probably spending more than you otherwise would on a therapist. It also causes an enormous toll on your physical body. So you're having oftentimes the result is chronic illnesses, and chronic illnesses means that you, not only the quality of your life has suffered, but also you're spending a lot of money on doctor visits and medications and pills and sleep apnea and all these things. Those things are costing money that you might otherwise not have to deal with. Then, because you have less energy, because you have less creativity, and the reason you have less creativity is because, let's face it, creativity requires energy and requires a calm place. It's very hard to be creative when you're in a fearful state. If you've been, for example, if you were mugged when you were a kid, God forbid, and now every time you walk down the street you have fear, so you're living in a state of chronic fear, there's no room for creativity. Fear and creativity can't exist in the same place. So when you have less fear, not only do you have less physical problems, you're eating less, you have less weight problems, you have higher energy, you have more creativity. And that creativity will help you live more the life of your dreams and will also help you excel in business, in whatever career you're in, which means you'll then have more money. And then when you have more money, then you know, that's money for a therapist, or other people say, I can't afford organic food, and it's the same thing. You know, you'll have more money that way because your career will excel. And because your creativity will be at a level where you'll be doing more exactly what you're meant to be doing and what you want to be doing. And so you develop this positive momentum. So if you just look at the isolated thing of $200 for a therapist and you say, I don't have the money for a therapist, then that's probably, then fine, that's true. But if you look at the fact that it's going to result in maybe $50 a week less for the rest of your life in food, and maybe $50 or $100 less in medication, and you might be making $300 or $400 or maybe $3,000 or $4,000 a week more because you're going to be in a much better financial situation, well, then you do have the money. So that's something to be looked at. But if you just want to look at it in its isolated case and say, yeah, that plunking out that $200, I don't have it, fine, that's okay. Listen to the CD. The CD, it helps resolve the traumatic issues that happened in your life, helps communicate. It uses visualization, which is the language that you use to talk to your body. It uses visualization to help communicate to your body that you are safe. And so the stress goes away, the fat goes away, the hunger goes away, the fear goes away, and then the creativity comes. So definitely just keep the focus, like I always say. Listen to the CD every morning and every evening. Keep the focus on that. If you don't have money for organic food, fine. Keep the focus on the visualization, and wherever you can, buy organic, spray-free, buy locally produced, spray-free produce. That's usually cheaper than any other produce out there. If you go to a farmer's market or something like that, or grow your own wheatgrass, that costs a couple of dollars a tray. Just do something that you can, but keep the focus on the visualization, and everything else will fall into place. Don't get stuck.
You know
what I mean, Neil? Yeah, go ahead.
My mother went through this same exact thing, and I helped coach her through it. And one thing that really helped her through this, John, was because she doesn't have a lot of money, and it's I understand, I really do, and I think people need to also understand where, especially last week. I mean, you're touching eyeballs here. You know what I mean? This is really sensitive stuff. And I remember when I was working through this stuff myself, it's scary. I mean, it's scary, and, you know, the first thing you do when you're scared is you start throwing up reasons why you can't do something. And one thing that really helped my mom, and I mean, maybe this will help somebody else out there, is, you know, she would ask herself, what can I do? Okay, maybe I can't do this,
exactly.
And that, but what can I
exactly.
do this weekend?
Exactly.
And from that place, she could move forward, and then you start building on little successes. So I would encourage people, you know, realize that, you know, last week was a powerful, powerful session. I mean, there's a lot of meat and potatoes in there. And,
yeah.
You know, I would really encourage everybody, if you didn't, go back and listen to it again. I mean, this is what you're paying for. That's good stuff in there. Don't be afraid of it. Work through it. You're coming around the bend. You know what I mean? We're coming around the bend. It reminds me, I used to ride a motorcycle, and sometimes you'd be coming around the corner, and the motorcycle gets so low to the ground, you feel like you're going to crash. And you know what you got to do, John? You got to gun it and
you
go
gotta accelerate
for it. And that bike will stand back up. And that's what I'm telling you. Don't let go of the accelerator here. Keep going.
Yeah.
This is the crux right here, man. This is the good stuff.
But you know what? The point that you made, which I think is so beautiful, is to shift your focus to what can I do? You know, because this is your life. Okay, so to say I don't have money for a therapist, so I can't do the Gabriel method. Well, your whole life you're going to have this issue. Or I don't have you know, money for organic, so I can't do the Gabriel method. Well, your whole life you're going to have to deal with toxins. That's not going to go away just because you say that. And the emotional issues aren't going to go away. So the focus, keep the focus on what can I do. And that's why so many people said, well, what about bread, you know, bread and all these kinds of things. I say, all right, that's where you are, but what can you do? What you can do is you can add. If you can't take away the foods that are causing the problem, all right, you know they cause the problem. Keep them there. What can you do? Well, what can you do is you can add. You can add positive food. You can add the visualization. You can add water. What can you do? That's such, to me, that I got like kind of goosebumps when you said that, because that is the essence of it. The focus, if you want to be successful in this endeavor and in every aspect of your life, ask yourself the question, what can I do, rather than get stuck on what you can't do. That, Neil, is brilliant. And I got to say, that's the essence of it. What can I do? Whether you can listen to the visualization, you can drink some more water.
I mean, there's a lot of tools there. Everybody's been given a lot of tools up to this point. You don't have to use them all, but which one can you grab onto and run with?
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you. That is beautiful. All right, you know what? I want to take, before we get into the questions, and there were some really important, after, at the end, at the very end of the session, we got about 30 or 40 really good emails, and I went through them, and I want to, between this class and then our video blog, I want to try to touch as many of them as possible, because I know that even though some of them seem very personal, they're going to apply to for every one person that's asking it, there's 10 other people that's going to apply to. So I want to address this. But just before we do, I've got Tracy from last week. I want to take Tracy because she held on all week last week and didn't get her question answered. And then we have some other people waiting for questions. We'll answer them. We'll answer those questions after we go through the emailed questions that we got from last class. But let me just take Tracy right now first. Tracy, are you there?
Hi, John. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. San Diego's beautiful today, so
beautiful.
I have no complaints.
Happy to that. San Diego's almost always beautiful, though, isn't it?
You know, it really is.
You know, you live
it's
in a gorgeous
beautiful.
Place. Yeah. Cool. So what's
well,
happening? Thanks
well,
for calling back. I appreciate that.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I'm sticking with this, and, you know, I keep having to hit the accelerator nail, so, you know, every once in a while. So, yeah, this is one of those times when I just said, okay, well, you know, it's time to just wait till next week and hit the accelerator again. Two major questions. One a little bit related to last week, and then another one that's more related to this week. I've been working with Dr. Leibowitz for a while, and we've talked about that before. And he's been doing a fabulous job of helping me with hormone balancing. But there's a couple things that I heard you say, and maybe I didn't hear correctly, so please help me. I was concerned about something that you said, that you weren't big on hormones. And frankly, I'm not either, but I did find that the quality of my life, my stress levels, and my ability to, I think, engage in life with the vigor that I wanted to were affected by my hormones being out of balance.
Tracy, let me address that one first. It's a really important one, okay?
Okay.
If you're talking to Dr. Leibowitz, then you're in the right place. He's the man that I refer everyone to. But in general, and this is a really important point, in general, when you start interfering with your body's hormones, you have to understand there's two components to the equation. A hormone travels through your body. Just give me a minute for this one, because this is such an important issue. A hormone travels through your body. It's a chemical messenger. Hormones basically are the way that the different parts of your body communicate. The way your liver communicates with your brain, the way your stomach communicates with your kidneys, is through hormones. Hormones are chemicals that travel through your bloodstream and interact and send messages from one part of the body to the other. That's sort of like the ham wave radio of the body, or even the internet of the body. So you have to understand with hormones, there's two components to the equation. One is how prevalent the hormone is in your body. And the other, which is a much bigger and more subtle part of the equation, is how sensitive the cells are to the hormone, how carefully the hormone is listening. Now, what typically happens when you interfere with your hormones, let's say you elevate the level of a certain hormone, then the cells of the body that are relevant to that hormone will stop listening to the hormone. And so you end up in the exact same place as you were before, only you're just now taking medication, the hormone, and a lot of these hormones, and this isn't the case with Dr. Leibowitz, but a lot of these hormones come from the bladders of pigs and kidneys of monkeys and all these kinds of things that are really toxic things. Now you're dependent on taking this hormone just to keep the same level you were before because your cells have become insensitive to the hormone. Then you go off the hormone and you have this tremendous rebound effect. And the place where it's the most prevalent and most obvious is with antidepressants. And again,
oh,
if you're on
yeah.
And let me explain this too. If you're on antidepressants, you know, you got to work with your doctor, do whatever your doctor is telling you. I'm not telling you to don't ever go off antidepressants on your own. It's a real tricky thing. Work with your doctor. But here's the problem when you work down the road of antidepressants. Antidepressants affect the hormones in your brain. Now, the hormones in your brain are called neurotransmitters. But all they are is they're chemical messengers from one brain cell to the other. Now, if you elevate the level of a neurotransmitter inside your brain, the brain cells, the neurons, will stop listening to that hormone. And then if you stop taking the antidepressant, you have this massive rebound effect. And you also end up having a massive rebound effect because over time those cells stop listening more and more and more. And that's why if you look at certain antidepressants, there's a warning on them that says, warning, may cause suicidal tendencies. It is.
I'm not laughing from
you. Can't.
It's ludicrous.
But you know what's even more ludicrous? I was reading something, a commentary from a health professional, and the drug companies objected because the FDA, the Food Drug Administration, said that the warning, the suicide warning, had to be, quote, a black box warning. And a black box warning is like the most severe warning you can have. It's got a black boundary surrounding it. It says warning right on the medication may cause suicidal tendencies. And they were complaining that they didn't want it to be a black box warning because it's just, you know, it's like too, it's hurting them because it's too severe. And the lady goes, what do they want it to be, a smiley face? You know?
No doubt.
So,
yeah.
But it, you know, it's a real thing. And if you look at, like, you know, the kids that went crazy in Columbine years ago, you know, they were taking antidepressants. They cause a rebound effect the same way that when you're in a concert and the louder the music gets, the more deaf your ears get. When you elevate hormones in your body, the louder the level of the hormone, the more deaf your cells become. So the key is always to make your cells more sensitive to the hormone, and that's usually by taking things like omega-3 fatty acids and reducing stress and addressing real issues, and then your cells become more sensitive. That's a more subtle thing. It's not something you can take a pill for. You have to address the real issues. But our, you know, manufacturers of medication, you know, they're in the business of making pills. And, you know, they have a right to make a living, and that's what they're doing. But, it's only one side of the equation. So that's why I made that statement. It's a really important statement about hormones. But if you're talking to Dr. Leibowitz, he is the world authority on natural hormone balancing. I couldn't be happier. You're in good hands. He understands all the elements of the equation, and and you can rest. You can rest easy.
And that's kind of what I figured. But I did want to just get your opinion and your take on it, simply because and also, John, there's definitely issues for women in their 40s and 50s with trying to maintain a balanced hormonal equation from the point of estrogen and progesterone.
Of course. And you know what, Dr. Lee, I've talked to Dr. Leibowitz about this, and you know, I said to him, well, you know, when a woman's going through perimenopause and menopause, what typically happens is they become insulin resistant. It must be the change in the estrogen level that's causing the insulin resistance. And he said, no, it's not the changes in the estrogen level. What's causing the insulin resistance is the stress that the body's undergoing from the changes, the hormonal changes that's causing it, which means that the best way to deal with the hormonal changes that you're going through is by dealing with stress, by minimizing the stress to the body, by dealing with mental and emotional stress, number one, and by eating foods that are very easily digested, by improving your digestion, and by lowering the stress on your body that it takes just to function properly. So the less stress and the more things you can do to nourish your body, the more easily you'll navigate through those changes.
Awesome. And you know, and this is, and really, truly, that's part of, I think, one thing that isn't addressed properly, with women in their 40s and 50s in most classical, traditional Western medicine, scenarios.
Yeah.
So I've been very blessed, to be with, you know, working with Dr. Leibowitz, and I hope everybody can find a holistic practitioner that's in that same situation.
Yeah, now Dr. Leibowitz, as I mentioned for people listening, Dr. Leibowitz does have a radio show. It's Thursday night in the States which is Friday morning in Australia. It's called Hormones Spoken Here. If you do a search for Dr. Leibowitz, I think I always forget if it's L-I-E or L-E-I. Maybe you can help me with
it's
that.
L-I-E.
Okay, it's L-I-E. Leibowitz is L-I-E-B-O-W-I-T-Z. Leibowitz. And if you do a search, Hormones Spoken Here, Dr. Leibowitz, you'll see the radio show. You can call in and talk to him. Tell him I said hi. He's a good personal friend. He's a good man. So.
Yes, he is. I'm appreciative. Do I have time for part two of my question?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So once I got the hormones balanced and got that stress taken out of my life, then I began starting to explore other stresses in my life. And this is partly thanks to you, John, and your book and your prompting to take a look at, you know, what things you have going on emotionally, mentally, that are causing you to hold on to weight. And,
yeah.
And I still don't think that I've made all the pieces come together there. And I feel like that seems to be my final hurdle. So last week's, lecture was very poignant. Last week's
yeah.
session was very meaningful to me in that regard. However, I still haven't figured out, how to deal with, some of the boundary issues. And I'm working on the visualization that you gave us, building that column of light. But nonetheless, it doesn't change my day-to-day situation. I have an 88-year-old aunt living with me since December, with some dementia and requiring a lot of care. I work from home. And I have a partner who is also, working a pretty high-stress job and comes home and brings that energy with her sometimes. So, that said, I guess my question is, you know, in my meditation, things are beautiful. And then once I leave that meditation, how do I take that with me and take that into my day?
Okay, well, we made that visualization 2 days ago, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that visualization, from what I've heard and what I've seen, I've been out there and around a lot, but for just a generic one-size-fits-all visualization to deal with boundary issues, I feel like that's as strong a visualization practice as you can possibly get. You know, the only thing you can get stronger is if you dealt with somebody custom made who, you know, like a therapist or an energetic healer who walked you through your own specific issues. But aside from that, that visualization is as strong a visualization as you're going to find. So I think it's certainly as strong as I found. I was really, really happy with it. This is 2 days into it. Okay. I want you to listen to that visualization as a regular practice every morning for a while. Until it becomes second nature. You know, I remember when I was first started losing weight, I was always looking for weight loss visualizations, and I found this one that dealt with emotions, because I was in that same place where I felt like so much emotions were coming out of me, just all the stress from the last 10 years, and I found this one that I used to listen to that I thought was great for letting go of emotions, and it said something like emotions were releasing emotions like leaves, you know, wind through the leaves of the tree, and just letting them go. And there was this one part of the visualization and it was always the exact same part I would blank out at, and I would wake up at the end of the visualization. And I could not listen to the visualization without blanking out at that exact same spot every time. And I said, I don't care what it takes or how long, I am going to listen to this visualization every single day until I can hear the whole thing. And it took a month of listening to this every single day until I got through it and I was able to hear the whole thing. And I know what was happening is it was dealing with an issue to me that was just so ingrained and so unconscious and so important that it's like my mind couldn't process it at that moment. So I had to keep going. But once I went through it, I feel like I made a tremendous shift in my thinking, in my feeling, and releasing whatever it is that I was holding on to for so long. And that's what's going to happen with this visualization, is that if you listen to it over time, you'll find yourself next to your aunt, And whereas there might be otherwise, it's like, oh, okay, wait, you know, there'd be this fear and stress around her and this tension because something's happening, you're going to find yourself calm, and you're going to find yourself really comfortable and saying, well, you know, that's okay, but that's okay, Aunt, but, you know, we'll take care of this in a minute, but right now I've got to do something. And you're going to feel really comfortable with that type of boundary. And you're going to feel comfortable with the boundaries of your own personal space in the house. And you'll find in little ways you'll be observing yourself and seeing how you don't react the way you used to. So this is day two.
I would love that.
Yeah, I want you to listen to that visualization every morning for a while because it really is your issue. It's custom. It's almost tailor-made for you. It's perfect for you. I would also encourage you, if you have time in the afternoons or even the mornings afterwards, to listen to Living Goddess meditation. I think it's a really important one. Yeah. Have you ever listened to that one?
I haven't yet.
Yeah, so I think it's in the members forum. It's a Living Goddess, and it's going to help you feel more connected, more centered, help you navigate through the menopause issues a lot better.
That would be awesome too.
Yeah, so I would go in those directions, and I feel like you should be sorted very very quickly.
You know, John, one of the things that really helped me, and this might help you too, is because I think one of the things you're talking about is kind of a chronic stress level that you might not necessarily be able to do anything to eliminate the stress issue there. But if you can take little breaks, you know, you don't necessarily have to carve out 15 minutes, but even if you can just stop and put some boundaries around you for 30 seconds, go in the bathroom, close the door, and just get some peace for a minute. You know, that might help you establish some boundaries too.
You know what? I have to tell you that when I actually do have to go use the restroom, I close the door and I feel like I'm in a sanctuary.
Well, there you go. You got a safe place now.
Yeah. Well, your boundaries, Tracy, your boundaries are going to get stronger and stronger. I guarantee it. Okay. It's just going to happen. And boundaries issues, as I talked about before, are always about fear. You know, because of some trauma, because we learn the world's unsafe, we don't want to say no to our partner because it could cause a fight, and you know, we don't want to say no to our aunt because, you know, that's not a nice little, whatever. Yeah, exactly. She'll be upset, and it's not, I'm not a nice person then. Whatever it is, they're always about fear issues, and somehow they just go away. You just feel less fear. You're able to see through the issues, and you can say to your partner, well, no, I sort of need this time to finish my work, and so I can't watch the movie right now, but I'll be there later, and you don't feel any tension doing that, and you can tell your aunt, we'll do that later today, but I got to do something, and you're not gonna feel any tension anymore because you're not gonna have the fear. So it's going to happen naturally.
Good.
Definitely.
So being fearless doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not compassionate.
Absolutely. Actually, being fearless means that you are much more compassionate, I think, because you're able to see through the real issues. Acting out of fear is never acting out of compassion. You know, it's acting out. Fear is actually a very selfish thing because you're acting out of your own preservation and you're saying, I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to think bad of myself. Whatever it is, you're thinking about yourself when you're in a state of fear. When you're not in a state of fear, you can deal with whatever the real issue is. It's almost like, you know. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like when you're loving someone, when you're really loving somebody, you're thinking about what's best for them. You're not thinking about what's best for you, but we kind of confuse love sometimes with them satisfying your personal needs. And when they don't satisfy your personal needs, then all of a sudden you don't love them anymore. But when you really love someone, like a kid, when you have a kid and you really love them, they don't always do what you want them to do, or they don't always gratify your immediate needs. But you're actually concerned about that because you're really thinking about what's best for them. So, you know, real love is thinking about what's best for someone else, and real compassion is not worrying about you being hurt or your own fear issues.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to mull that one over for a while. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, we've got some other questions after Tracy, but Neil, let me get to you now first, and let's talk about some of the questions that came up after the course and in the last couple of days.
All right. Well, here's a question from Machiko. I hope I'm saying his name right. This is a really great question, John. This is I hope you're up to answering it tonight. How can one find and identify? This is a good one. How can one find and identify the purpose or meaning of one's life? I've been struggling to really listen. And there's always something that must get done that gets in the way.
Yeah. I'm going to have to answer that question according to my own understanding of the world. I can't vouch that, you know, for that it's the absolute right answer. All I can do is go through my understanding. But from my experience and my understanding of what your meaning of your life is, it's never something that you do per se. It's who you are from moment to moment. Now, for me, I feel sometimes like I'm connected to an ocean of energy that's all around me. And that energy is traveling through me and acting through me and working through me. When that's happening, in that moment, I am living my life's purpose. Whether I'm at the grocery store, whether I'm speaking in front of 500 people, doesn't matter what I'm doing. It's the fact that the way I conceptualize it is like an ocean of energy, but some people might say their higher self or God or whatever, however you want to conceptualize it. I don't want to get anywhere near belief systems on this. But for me, when I feel connected to whatever that source of power and inspiration is, and when I feel it coming through me, I know I'm living my life's purpose. And when I'm not connected to it, and it's not coming through me, and I'm just speaking from, as we talked about just a moment ago, when I'm just speaking of fear, from fear and self-preservation, then I know I'm not living my life's purpose. So living my life's purpose or not living my life's purpose might change from moment to moment, but the more that I'm feeling connected to that source and it's coming through me, the more I know I'm living my life's purpose, which will translate into the grand scheme of things, because when you're totally connected to that, you find yourself in situations where the doing aspect of your life, who you are, your career, your passion, whatever it is, that happens, you end up in a much greater situation than you were before. So, you know, maybe you have this passion to go out and, you know, and take care of orphans in Africa or something like that, but you're thinking, well, you know, I've been trained as an accountant, and, you know, this is what I have to do. And so you spend your life doing that because it makes sense, and you're ignoring some other passion. And these are just extreme examples. But the more you say, well, hang on a second, I'm feeling like intuitively that this is the thing I need to do. Maybe if it's just for a day or an hour or spend 2 weeks volunteering somewhere, whatever it is, then that'll come through. And then more and more the connection between that feeling and what it is you're meant to be doing will manifest in your life. So one of the things I do, and I was going to talk about this a little bit in class number 6, is one of the things I do when I'm done my visualization / meditation in the morning, I imagine that source, however you want to define it, just coming through me. So I'll just open my body up and I'll say, look, I'm about to spend this day, whatever, I just going to say, just totally work through me. Just speak through me, act through me, feel through me. I imagine this energy running through me and going out into the world. And then I know when I'm done and I start my day, that I'm in the right place. So don't be too focused from a headspace about how that manifests. I don't ever spend too much time worrying about how that's going to manifest. I don't say, well, I need to do this talk at this time or write this book. I don't think like that. I just think I want to be connected to the source. I want that source to run through me. And now I've been doing this now for a number of years to the point where most of the time I feel connected. I feel like I'm connected to this ocean. The way I just conceptualize is an ocean of energy, but however you conceptualize your source, I feel connected to it and I feel it running through me. So most of the time I feel like I'm living my life's purpose. I'm in that place, but I know when I'm not also. When I'm reacting, when I'm in a state of fear, when I'm arguing about stupid stuff that's got nothing to do with anything, just to make a point. When I'm feeling like, you know, how am I going to get through this situation, and my mind takes over, then I know I'm not connected. And then usually if I can get to the place where I'm aware that I'm not connected, I go and I try to reconnect. But like the Living Goddess meditation, for example, for women, is about connecting to that source. All the visualizations that we've been doing where you imagine yourself in an ocean of energy is running through you is about connecting to that source. However you conceptualize that source, connecting to it, having it run it through you, that's living your life's purpose by my definition. And all I can give you is my definition, and it's not the official Gabriel Method definition. You don't have to believe my beliefs to be on the Gabriel Method. The only thing you have to do is nourish your body and feel safe, however that whatever that means. But for me personally, that's how I see that.
You know, John, I've been knowing you for some time now, and if I could just interject, you know, I think one of the things that I know one of the things that brings you great joy and satisfaction, and I know you've worked really hard to get in this place, is that you have the opportunity to help so many people every single day. And it wasn't necessarily always that way. You've worked very hard to get there, and I'm sure it brings you a great level of satisfaction. One thing I would offer to people, because we can't all be where John Gabriel is right now, but we can all work towards places, and so I would just encourage people to focus on whatever it is you do, whatever it is you do, focus in your work on what the part of it that serves other people. And if you can focus on that, you know, my dad always said that you can either operate out of fear or you can operate out of love. He said, he said that every other emotion was based from one of those two things. And I think if you can take, whether you're a mailman or whether you're a waitress or whether you're, it doesn't really matter. Focus on the part of what you do. Or at home, if you're a mother or a father, focus on the part of what you do that serves other people. And I found personally, again, I can only speak about my own personal thing. I found personally that that's what brings the highest level of satisfaction. That's why me and you do what we do here, John. I mean, isn't it?
Well, I think what you said before, that not everyone's going to be in the situation that I'm in right now. I wasn't always in this situation, you know. So I spent years going through my own process, and part of my own process was that feeling of offering myself to that source of energy and saying, you know, work through me. I'm offering you. I'm offering myself. I'm saying I have a body. I have a mouth. I have whatever capabilities that you've given me, just work through me. Let that energy run through me however you want it to run through. Eventually, over time, it translated very materially into a very specific thing. So whatever situation you're in, if you just have that desire to have that higher part of us work through you, you know, say, look, you've created my body for a reason. Use it, work through it. And that's sort of, I think, the same thing that you're saying when you're saying thinking of other people. You're saying, work through me. And then over time, every moment, moment by moment, you find it a shift, a subtle shift. And I think it's true what you say also about the fear and love thing, because when you are focusing on other people's needs, and I'm not saying that it should come from a forced place, but when it happens automatically, where you just happen to be focused on, you know, a cat that needs some food, or, you know, a little kid that needs some attention, or a customer that needs, you know, to have their meal delivered properly, when you are focusing on other people, you're less focused on your own problems and your own concerns and your own fear, and then there is a shift that takes place. There's no question.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, you ready for the next question?
Ready for the next question.
Okay. We'll switch gears here a little bit. This is questions from Jackie. She said, last week you spoke in depth about insulin resistance and how to combat it. I would like to know about the causes of leptin resistance and how this affects weight loss or gain and how you combat it.
Okay, I don't talk too much about leptin because it gets too far into the chemistry of things, but leptin is the master hormone that controls weight. Now, when you are who is it that's asking a question?
This is Jackie.
Jackie. So, you know, when Jackie's talking about something called leptin resistance causes insulin resistance. So I'm focusing on insulin resistance because it's a very tangible thing to understand. Leptin, the hormone leptin and leptin resistance is a much more important issue, but everything we talk about, and I mean everything, whether it's stress or adding omega-3s or improving your digestion, everything we talk about is geared toward getting your body more sensitive to the hormone leptin. And we would need a whole class to go through leptin, but leptin is a hormone that is the master hormone that's in charge of how fat or thin your body is, and how sensitive your brain is to the hormone leptin will determine how fat or thin your body wants to be. So when your body wants to be thinner, as I talked about before, really what's happening is the brain, the part of your brain that's in charge of this, becomes more sensitive to the hormone leptin. And when your body wants to be fatter, your body becomes more resistant. It stops listening to leptin. And that's all that has to happen. And this cascade of things happen where you're hungrier, your metabolism slows down, and you become insulin resistant when your body stops listening to leptin. So the hormone cortisol, as we talked about before, and stress and lots of other things cause leptin resistance. And everything that we're doing is getting your brain more sensitive to leptin, And once your brain becomes more sensitive to leptin, it all becomes automatic. And your body, once your body becomes more sensitive to leptin, it automatically becomes more sensitive to insulin too. So you don't have insulin resistance either. So they're very, the two are intimately related. Leptin's like the general, and insulin's like the colonel or something like that. If you look at the grand scheme of things, leptin's in charge. All you need to know as far as the class is concerned is that everything we're doing is geared toward making your body more sensitive to leptin.
Okay. All right. Do you want to take a live caller here, John?
Yeah, I got a bunch of callers. So I don't know who the next caller is. Who is it, Alice? Okay. So let's put Alice through. Alice from Auckland.
Hey there.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, John. I'm good, thanks.
Hey, Alice? Alice,
yeah.
Give me one second. I just want to make an announcement to the people that are screening the calls. You guys, send me messages of the person's name that's the next person. Like, I don't know who the next person is now. So send me, always keep me in the loop of who the next people are. Okay, good. Now we can start. Alice?
All right. Hi. Well, thank you very much for covering the whole thing about boundaries and stuff earlier. That was very interesting.
Okay.
Very potent to me, so I'm going to cover that a lot myself. I have a couple of other questions, which is more to do with like insulin, I think, but I don't know what's going on, so that's why I'm calling to hope you can fill me in here.
Yeah.
When I eat a GM meal with the big three, with my digestive enzymes and take my probiotics, and et cetera, I feel exhausted and like I need to sleep within minutes of eating a meal.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would be digestive enzymes or what's going on. Have you any idea?
What is a GM meal? Give me an example.
That's fine. It would be like so maybe some chicken or some beef.
Think of a meal that happened, and tell me exactly what that meal was.
Oh, okay. Well, your shake. I had a shake. I had a frozen banana and egg yolk. Had some chia seeds, some flax seeds, a tablespoon of cocoa powder, a tablespoon of xylitol. I think it was exactly your recipe. And I had some almond milk that I had made. And I had my digestive enzyme with it. So as soon as I drank that, seriously, within minutes, you know, a couple of minutes, I'm feeling like I need to go to sleep.
Yeah. Okay. Now, was that happening before you started taking the digestive enzymes and the probiotics?
No. I have noticed that when I have played around with it a little bit, with not the digestive enzymes, sometimes if I don't take the digestive enzymes, often I'll get foggy but not sleepy. You know how you feel like you need a cup of coffee to wake up kind of feeling? So I will get that feeling instead of being exhausted.
Okay, now what does it happen all the time, or is this just like when you take a shake? Like, does it happen at every meal, or?
No, it pretty much happens every meal. Yeah.
Okay, was it happening at every meal before?
No.
Okay, what types of foods were you eating before?
Eating similar foods, but not the focus on the live foods, actually this might help. You know, unfold what's going on, because between 11 and 4 during the day, I have a really hard time following the big three meals. But I can do it for breakfast and dinner, and that's when I usually get to the whole foggy, sleepy thing. In the middle of the day, when I kind of, what I say, I lose the plot and I have a hard time following the system, so to speak, that it doesn't happen as much. So I'm not sure if they're both kind of related.
What are you eating during the day?
I'm just like snacking through the day. Like not having an actual meal. Like a handful of almonds. I'll have maybe a piece of fruit. I will have.
Oh, but you say you lose the plot during the day.
Yeah, exactly. I don't mean like I'm binging. Yeah,
okay.
I'm not binging or anything. Losing the plot. Occasionally.
Here's the other question I have. Okay, so after you eat that meal and you get tired, do you then crave some sort of sweets?
No, that's the interesting thing. I don't crave sweets. I just want to sleep.
Wow. That's interesting, actually. You know, my inclination is to kind of go through that if you're not having kind of junk food cravings, because it's not feeling like a low blood sugar episode. It's feeling more like a kind of detoxification type of response. But have you had any kind of like fresh juices, you know, like a wheatgrass or celery, kind of carrot juice at a juice bar or something?
I do that at home. I try. Actually, yeah, I do feel pretty tired after that. I do.
I'm thinking there's a serious detoxification issue going on. You're killing maybe some sort of parasites in your stomach, and that's causing a reaction. Your body's going to war with something inside that's not too good. That's what I'm thinking. As long as you're not getting sugar cravings, then I'm thinking your body's sort of going to war with something that it doesn't like inside you, and it's cleaning it out.
Awesome.
I think I would focus. You said you were having juices. Like, what kind of juices were you making at home?
I've been making whatever's in the fridge, whatever the veggies I need to use up. So I usually have an apple base or apple or carrot base, and then whatever veggies are lying around, be it cabbage or spinach or whatever.
Yeah, all right.
In the fridge.
And how often do you do that?
I try and do that about 4 o'clock every day. It's not happening all that much at the moment. Maybe like 3 times a week when I'm focused.
Okay. What if you did it in the morning? Could you do it in the morning? Is there an opportunity to do that in the morning? Okay. Could you do it you had where half the base was celery? Because celery is a really powerful cleanser. Obviously it's not going to be as sweet. But the carrot and the apple will compensate for that. And if not, work on it. Look, if you have half celery and you just can't drink it because it doesn't taste good, then make it a quarter celery. Make it a little bit of celery, okay? Because it's a really powerful blood cleanser. Try having that in the morning first thing before breakfast.
Okay. All right.
Is that possible?
I will do that.
Just experiment with it.
Yeah.
What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to experiment with it for a little while and see how your energy levels feel throughout the day. And I'd like you to experiment over time to see if over time you're feeling more energy, not less energy, once you do that. Because I think this is kind of a short-term experience that you're having while you're flushing out something, flushing out some sort of toxin.
Yeah, I wasn't going to throw out the whole system just because I was feeling tired.
I think the juices are going to flush it out. Whatever it is, you know, having the shake, for example, if that's making you tired, that's not going to clean your blood that quickly. There's some healthy items. It's probably the digestive enzymes. It's definitely a digestive thing, but the juices will flush it out quicker. So maybe you'll feel tired for a week. I want to know next week how you go. Like, I wouldn't mind you calling back next week. If you try this just for a week, and let me know let me know if there's a difference from the beginning of the week to the end of the week by doing this juicing in the morning.
I can start today. Sure, I can
do
that.
Yeah, all right. Just do it for a week, and then call me back, okay? All right, go ahead.
I will do that. Okay. It's something that's slightly off topic, but I'm sure it applies to a lot of other people. It's obviously something to do with a boundary issue or something like this, because how do you stop yourself eating when you actually really don't want something? For example, I saw a donut on the table. I didn't actually feel like it, but I ate it anyway.
Yeah. I say that that's going to go away. I also say that that could be related to your digestive issues, but I do feel like there's something in your digestion that's fighting you, and we all have them. You know, we develop these parasites inside our digestion. They cause sugar cravings. I think that will go away over time. I don't want to focus too much on behavior modification. The only reason is because behavior modification is not sustainable in and of itself. Like, if I told you, you know, get up and walk away every time you see a donut or something like that, you know, that's going to work sometime, but it's not something you're going to do for the rest of your life. What you want is to have a body that's functioning really, really well, so that you're looking at that and you're saying, no, that's just trash. There's nothing in it that attracts me. You know, so
backtracking back to the digestion thing, it just kind of sparked me. I lived in the States for 7 years, and then I moved back to Auckland. And when I moved back to Auckland, my asthma really flared up. And you're talking about digestion and asthma and immunity all linked. So maybe it's something to do with that, because over the past couple of weeks after doing the GM method,
yeah.
My asthma has improved a little bit. So maybe that is kind of related.
There's a digestion issue there. And so I just want you to do this for a week. Start every morning with a big juice. And put some celery in if you can. I wouldn't even mind, like, if you put celery in and it tastes awful, if you just even put, like, a little bit of palm sugar in to sweeten it to make it palatable, I wouldn't mind that. But the blood cleansing aspect of the celery is going to be really important. So try that for a week, and then I want to know if there's any difference in your energy levels a week later. Okay?
Okay, I would definitely do that. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Okay. Cool.
Okay.
All right, let's
have
keep going. Hey, right, you too. I'll talk to you soon. All right, so let's keep going with the next question. Caller is Laura from Perth. So, Laura, are you there?
Hi, John.
Laura? Hi, Laura. How are you?
Hello. Can you hear me? Hi, John. I'm really good. I wanted to say thanks. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'm right here.
Sorry, but
What, you got a hair in your mouth? Okay. Good.
Look, I just want to say thanks for doing the step-by-step program. It's
Okay, Laura. You know what, Laura? I am not hearing you. So, are we hearing Laura? Okay, Laura, you're coming. You're breaking in and out, sweetheart. So,
yeah,
I'm not sure what it is.
I'll call back next week.
You'll call back. I understand, sweetheart. All right, listen, we're here, okay? So if you want to call next week, Jenny, make a note. Laura's going to call back next week, so just take a priority that we'll take her call, okay? So, Laura, we'll talk to you next week, okay? So let's move on to, I think, Denise from Queensland.
Hello.
Denise, hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you going?
I'm good.
I just wanted to ask. When I first started in the first week or two, I was doing all the things that we needed to do.
Yeah.
And then I found towards the end of the second week, I started not doing a lot of that stuff, and I had been listening to the Living Goddess, which I found really helpful.
Yeah.
So I've actually gone back to really eating a lot, becoming quite discouraged.
Okay.
And I've actually put on about 3 kilos in the last week and a half.
Yeah.
So is this normal?
Well, everybody's situation is different, and what I'm feeling from you as I'm talking to you is that the Living Goddess, and my guess probably also the emotional class, did you listen to the emotional class we had? Did I?
I only got to listen to it this morning.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing that there are sort of, at least the Living Goddess is touching something in you that needs to be worked out. So there's a reaction there. You know, it's like if a surgeon, it's like if you had a broken leg and the surgeon's unwrapping the bandage and he wants to touch your leg to see how it's doing, and he's going to touch it, the first thing you're going to do is recoil. Does that make sense? But then he's got to do a little bit of manipulating to it, and then put it back in the cast, and then it's going to grow, and it's going to be much stronger, and then you can run on it, and it's going to be fine. I sort of feel, just from taking your exactly what you've told me just now, what I'm feeling is it's touching something, and I think that the emotional thing that you just listened to this morning is going to touch something. But most importantly, I would say listen to that visualization every morning this week. The morning one that we created for this week. Yeah. Have you heard that one yet?
No, I haven't. So I'll do that. I'm at work at the moment, so I'll do that when I get home.
I understand. That was a reaction. There's definitely a reaction there. Something was touched.
Yeah.
And when you think about past traumas, okay, our conscious is really good at allowing us to forget horrible or painful things that happen, and it's a blessing in a sense because we wouldn't be able to function if they were all sitting there right in our conscious all the time. We just wouldn't. And if you think about things that were so painful years ago and you're not thinking about them anymore, you forgot them, that's our conscious allowing us to function. Now maybe we're not functioning perfectly because we're carrying them around with us, so there's extra baggage, and that translates maybe to extra weight and to less energy and all of those type of things. But if we want to really to free ourselves of that baggage and that extra weight, then we have to look at those. That process can cause a reaction, a fear. This visualization will help you because part of your survival mechanism for dealing with whatever that pain is to have that weight to kind of like protect you. This visualization is geared specifically to creating another form of protection. So your body will learn this other form of protection, and your body will seek that form of protection rather than the weight, and it will allow you to let go of whatever the thing is. It'll allow the surgeon to touch the knee a little bit, manipulate it, without resorting to food or weight as the solution.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah, I do, and I'm listening to what you were saying about you're not looking under the bed. I've been sort of looking. I feel in the right places for a long time, and I feel that the course has come along at the right time because I feel that this is the time now that I'm going to let go of what I've been hanging on to.
Yeah.
So something you said in the program the other day was about our stuff being stored in our cellular memory. And that's actually a course I've done myself. So I've made an appointment to clear a bit more myself.
I'll tell you what, when at some level you've made a decision to heal yourself, it's like the universe conspires. To bring about help. So, and everything that's happening in your life will be exactly what you're needing. So as soon as you told me about that, I said that's a reaction. This is actually a good thing because we're getting to the real issue. And then this visualization that we just made, which you haven't heard yet, is exactly tailored to where you're at right now.
Okay, great. All right. Thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure. Okay. And I just want to make a general statement. There were times I lost weight over a 2.5 year period, and there were times when the weight was falling off of me. Like I lost maybe 50 pounds in 3 months. There were other times where the weight wasn't coming off, and there were times when I even had I would gain 5 or 10 pounds, and have a reaction exactly like Denise is saying. It is a process, and I had to let go of so many different emotional pains and traumas and past abuse, and it was just an undoing, like taking away layers of an onion. And then when it was gone, you look back and you go, wow, I don't know why I felt or acted the way I did, but that's just not the way I am. That's not who I am anymore. And then you have this sort of feeling of more and more over time of lightness and a feeling of positive momentum. So to me, where Denise is right now is exactly perfect, because once she listens to this visualization, it's all going to come together. But let me take a couple of more. The next person is George from California.
Hi, John.
Hi, George. How are you?
Okay. My question is, I think you had touched on this a little bit in some of the calls, but how you're supposed to feel during the visualization. I feel pretty good in the nighttime visualization. I feel that it's actually doing some good.
Yeah.
But I'm really having a problem with the morning visualization. I get distracted and I start thinking about my day instead of the visualization, and I don't feel.
Yeah.
So how? I mean, is it supposed to be trance-like?
In its most pure state, you would start to feel calmer and more focused. There's no question, but that takes time. It's like getting into that state, the what I call smart mode, which is the alpha and the theta state, is actually something that you get better and better at over time. So when you wake up in the morning, your mind's rushing. Usually, what I find when I wake up in the morning is that there's like a couple of minutes while I'm in bed that I'm calm, and if I stay in bed much longer than that, my mind starts going. And so there is that sort of first thing in the morning thing that you can kind of catch. And I'm just curious, when you listen to the morning visualization, like when do you listen to it, like relative to when you wake up?
Right away.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll
try anyway.
You try it. Okay.
90% of the time it's right away.
Okay. Well, what I would do is I wouldn't try to do anything. I wouldn't try to expect anything. I would let your mind wander. I totally let your mind wander. Just sit there for the 9-10 minutes that it's happening. This one we did this week is a little bit longer. I think it's 14 minutes. Just sit there and let it happen. And eventually what will happen is you'll find maybe after a couple of weeks or of doing this on a daily basis that you are feeling more calm and more centered and more energized. But it does take time to train your brain to get into that state. And then you'll find that state kind of permeates the rest of your day for a while. You just have a much calmer disposition. But it's like training a muscle. Getting into that state is like, it's a state that we used to be in as kids all the time, but then we lose that, and like a muscle, it atrophies. Like, it's almost like if you've had your left hand tied to your body for 30 years, and then I ask you to start moving it, you're not going to be able to lift a pencil. But if you do it every day for a while, in 6 months, your left arm's going to be as strong as your right arm. So don't expect anything. Don't look for anything. Don't try to concentrate. Let your mind wander. Sit and do the visualization. And notice over time, after a few weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, you will feel more calm, more centered.
Are we supposed to be doing the morning visualization only, or these other visualizations that you give us at the end of each lesson?
What we're supposed to be doing for this class is each week the morning visualization is whatever visualization I've created that week.
Oh.
Because it's
okay.
Geared towards, yeah. Yeah.
All right. I missed that.
That's okay because you can go back and experiment with them. One deals with keeping your blood sugar stable. One deals with digestion and assimilation. One deals with just creating positive habits. And the one that we created this week is about dealing with emotions, stress, and it's a good place to start. This one's a good place to start. So I would just slot that one in for this week and do that for the rest of the course. And then what I would like is, once the course is over, is that you have developed the habit of doing visualization every morning. And then whether you're specifically listening to a visualization or just doing your own thing, it's not going to matter, but you will have that habit, and that habit will propel you towards success, not only in weight loss, but other areas too.
So I've been seeing a psychologist, and she said given my life history that I'm probably suffered from dysthymia probably since I was a teenager. So do you have any hints, clues as to, how to, break through that? I have a problem, I probably see the world with the glass half empty instead of the glass half full, and that gets in the way.
It's exactly what we were talking about earlier about what can you do. I want you to just focus on what can you do. And listening to a visualization, if you could just do one thing, listen to that visualization every morning. Whatever visualization you're doing, listen to a visualization every morning. It will retrain your brain.
Okay.
Toward feeling and acting more positively.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Okay. I'll see you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Okay, let's see. Then we've got, I'm not sure who's next. Who's next, Aaron? Okay, Michael. Michael from Queensland.
Michael, John, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you for just fine, yeah.
First time caller, long time listener.
Okay. Welcome to the aboard.
Thank you. And look, I just had a question about motivation, and look, I agree 100% with everything that you're saying, but just, sometimes, are there any really good techniques to break you out of bad habits?
Yeah, the visualization. I feel like I'm saying this, I keep coming back to this, but the visualization will break you out of bad habits. It's just that simple. So just focus on one thing. Like if you're just going to do nothing else, make sure you listen to the morning visualization every morning. and then and over time your brain will be focused on creating more positive habits and on the positive, and will access parts of your brain that are much more powerful, much more creative. And when you're in that powerful state, you're much better able to break habits. Now, let me explain why. If you look at what a habit is like inside your brain. If you look at how your brain cells are connected, it's like walking through the woods. One brain cell is going to be connected to another, and it creates what's called a network, a neural network, which is very similar to a path in the woods. So if you walk a path in the woods every single day, that path gets so more and more trodden that as soon as you approach the woods, you're not going to walk off the path, because it would take too much creativity and energy to think, well, I'll step over that branch, I'll walk through that tree, I'll go under this, I'll go over that. You've got a path laid out. And that's what a habit is. A habit is a path laid out. Now, breaking a habit requires energy and daily practice. If I said to you, look, you've got this path through the woods, I don't want you to go that way, I want you to go this way, the first day you do that, it's going to take a lot of energy, it's going to take a lot of time, and you're not going to be that inclined to do it. The second time it's going to get easier, the third time it's going to get easier, the fourth time it's going to get easier. Now, when you try to break a habit, when you're in a state of visualization, when you're in a state of smart mode, your brain, you've accessed a much more powerful side of your brain. Your brain literally is giving off more electricity, is actually more powerful state to be in, and a more focused state to be in. It's a little bit like taking a bulldozer through the woods and saying, look, bulldoze a path this way. So you can create a positive habit very, very quickly when you're in that state of visualization, but it takes time to get to that, to get into that visualization. It takes daily practice till you get strong enough till you can just break a habit just like that. So by listening to the visualization every morning, your brain's getting stronger and stronger. And I would add that any positive habit you want to create, or even any negative habit you want to break, you can add to the visualization. So at the end of the visualization, I would use that state that you're in to imagine yourself doing the positive habit. Let's say you want to go to the gym every day, just take an example. I'm not saying that that's something you should or should not do. We'll talk about that actually next week. But let's say that that's the habit you wanted to create. As you're in that state in the morning when you're doing the visualization, visualize, see yourself going to the gym, see yourself having a great workout, see yourself packing your bag in the morning, see yourself taking it to work, see yourself driving from work to the gym. See those things happening, and it's like a bulldozer creating that positive habit, and then it gets easier and easier. So to me, habits always start with a vision. And it always starts in that deep visualization state that I call smart mode, or the alpha and the theta state. So use that state that you're in the morning to create positive habits, and keep the focus on the creating the positive. Whatever that habit is that you want to have that day, whatever it is that in that specific day you hope to accomplish, that's a positive action or a positive habit. Use that visualization state to create that habit.
Sure, John. Just one more thing. I guess,
yes.
Look, I agree with you totally about visualizations. Do you know, sometimes you get lost in life and you don't really know where you want to go. Are there any tips or techniques that can help you find the right path?
Yeah, you know, we're having similar themes today in the class. If you remember earlier, we talked about, somebody asked what the meaning of life was. Now, for me, I always say that the meaning, for me personally, the meaning is to be connected to that source that's a higher part of us, our higher self, or whatever, however we connect to it, our creator, but that part of us that's much bigger and knows our life's purpose, to be connected with it and to have it motivate us, work through us, access us, use us as for whatever desired goal we were created for. So what I do, this is my tip, and what I would recommend you do is at the end of the visualization, I would try to access whatever your source is, your creative source, your creator, however you define that. And for me, I try to keep it, it's an ocean of energy, and everybody calls it a different name. I access that and say, just work through me. I'm here. Guide me and work through me to reach to reach my goal, to reach to do whatever it is that I'm meant to be doing. And you will find subtle shifts. You'll be walking down the street, and you'll have, and this is a really real experience that you'll have. You'll be walking down the street, and you'll just feel this intuitive urge to go left as opposed to right. And maybe going right is the most logical thing to do, but you listen to it, and you go left, and you meet somebody who has some similar interest to you, and you find yourself over time getting together with them and creating some incredible endeavor. Or maybe you meet the love of your life, or something changes your life, just a subtle thing. And if you look at some of the most powerful and important changes that we've had in our lives, they can be traced back to just a simple act that happened, a turn left versus turn right. You wouldn't believe it. I met this person on a ski slope, and, you know, now we're doing this and that, and then the rest is history. So those things, if you really consciously ask for the guidance, you will find during the day that you will get that guidance, and you won't feel lost. I personally feel lost when I don't feel connected to my creative source, and I feel like I'm exactly where I am meant to be, doing exactly what I'm meant to be doing when I am feeling connected. So in the visualization, ask for that connection, ask for that guidance for that specific day. That in this day, please guide me to exactly what I'm meant to be experiencing for this day.
Excellent. Hey, did I hear correctly that you used to be a smoker?
No. I mean, I smoked for a year when I was 14, actually. Yeah, from 14 to 15. I was a little bit...
Okay. I'm just wondering if there's any visualizations that might help me along those lines.
Yeah, I actually did use visualization for that, believe it or not. And what I did was I imagined that the cigarette was like, you know, that tar in the street that smells terrible when people are fixing the road. You know what I'm talking about? You drive by it and it just smells disgusting. I have a lot of respect for those people. I don't know how they do that job, but I can't even drive by it. So what I would imagine is I would touch the cigarette. I would inhale it, and it would be like that tar, and it would be so repulsive, like my whole body would just like repulsed by that tar, that I couldn't touch a cigarette anymore. So I sort of used visualization to create this negative association with smoking, and it worked for me. And one of the reasons I think it worked is I only smoked for about a year, and it wasn't a serious thing. But as soon as I did that, I found that I couldn't touch cigarettes anymore. So that's one that worked for me pretty well.
Sure. Do you think that there might be a better way by doing it in the positive sort of affirmation?
Probably. I mean, look, I was 14 years old, and yeah.
You were affirming at 14, John?
What's that?
I said you were affirming at 14. That's pretty good.
Well, you know, I learned visualization from my father. My father used to teach me visualization to get rid of headaches. I used to have really bad headaches, so that's when I was 10. So I learned at an early age how powerful your visualization could be. I do think that doing it in a positive would be a really good way to do it. I'm just thinking that, like, if you do the, so I'm thinking off the top of my head how I would do that. So if you're doing it in a visualization, and you're about to smoke a cigarette, but all of a sudden you feel this incredible life force come through you, and as it's coming through you, you feel this amazing energy, and you look at the cigarette and you just flick it away. Like your body kind of rejects it because you've got this powerful life force energy that's filling your lungs, and that life force energy is not going to tolerate any smoke in it. You know, when you're really, really pure, you can't tolerate any impurities. Like when I first lost the weight, I was drinking, you know, a tray of wheatgrass every morning. I couldn't touch anything that was bad because my system was so pure. You just have this visualization. You've got the cigarette in your hand. You're about to smoke. All of a sudden, this like wind, like a breeze of wind of life force energy comes into your lungs, fills your lungs with this positive feeling, and it won't let any impurities in. It's like blocks out impurities. And you look at the cigarette, and it's just you just reject it because your lungs will not tolerate it, and you flick it away. Maybe try that visualization.
Sure. Okay? Hey, you know how people are asking for visualizations without music? Is there any chance we could get the music without visualizations?
Yeah, well, the music without visualization is a smart mode music. It should be in the members forum, and if it's not, I mean, the members area, if it's not, we'll make it available. But that smart mode music is that music. It's six different tracks I have. One is just like there are different lengths, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, with different programs in it. Like the one during the day steps you into the smart mode and takes you out. The one at night keeps stepping you deeper and deeper. So I thought that smart mode music is in our members area. If it's not, I can put it in there really easy. But that's that music. Okay?
So okay,
Jenny,
hold on,
I'm just going to make a note. Yeah, Michael, I'm just going to make a note. Jenny, can you just make a note? Thank you. That's in there. So all right, if it's not in there, it'll be in there in the next 48 hours. Okay?
Well, one last question. I'll let you go. My partner wanted to know this. I was telling her about the digestive tract and imagining light passing through your digestive tract. She wanted to know if that actually meant that the sun shined out of my arms.
Well, maybe when you're a little bit more pure, that'll happen too. So keep doing the visualization.
All right. Thanks, okay. John. Have a good one.
All right. You too. Thanks, Michael. I'll see ya. Okay, so let's go on to Nadia. Nadia in Melbourne.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, John.
Hi.
I just want to say how you and Neilon work really well together. I really enjoy you and Neilon working together.
I appreciate
that.
I feel
feedback.
I think we compliment each other too. We come from different perspectives,
yeah,
but very similar ones.
It's just so much fun. It's just so much fun. It's great. So the reason why I'm calling is because I've got a bit of a sugar addiction, and I know where it's from. Both my family migrated here from another country, and, you know, it was very stressful growing up. They both went through famines in their childhoods, and also my mum, because she was working, she left sugar as a mothering thing. So that was my mother, if you like. And so, you know, like your previous caller, you know, I've been getting a bit of a reaction, and it's been triggering my eating.
Yes.
You know, and I guess for me, I'm trying to sort of, like, I'm just adding to the checklist, you know, adding from the checklist, like you said, not, you know, not in a diet kind of frame of mind, just adding things, you know, being a positive, opposite from what you do with a diet.
Yeah, yeah.
And do I need to just with this and just be really realistic and just not look at it as a weight loss? Because it might take me some time to actually lose some weight and
Let me ask you something. Are you listening to the visualizations?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, have you listened to the Living Goddess one?
I have. And you know, it was so funny because I made time to do it every day at 5 o'clock. I had this, you know, because I work close to home, and I get home, and I thought, that's great, I can do it in between that time. And then all of a sudden, I got all this responsibility at work, and I was just like, oh, dude, that sucks.
Yeah.
You know,
How about first thing in the morning? Can you listen to it in the morning?
Well, I usually do your morning visualization in the morning.
You do? Okay, I'd like you to, all right, so I'd like you to do it for at least for this week, maybe alternate between the one that I just created, the visualization that I just created for Core Lesson 4, and the Living Goddess one. Only because you've made an association with, you know, sugar and love and sugar and connection. The Living Goddess is so about connection and love and nurturing that it's gonna help create a surrogate so that you don't have that sugar thing anymore. Now everything else that you're doing, you'll have less sugar cravings because your blood sugar will be more stable. But I think for you the emotional issues are really big. And I'll tell you something else, Nadia. It's true for most people. I mean, it's true for me. Just people are just not aware of it. But you're very aware of it right now. So I would stay with for a couple of weeks. I would alternate between the Living Goddess in the morning, if you can, and the visualization that I just created.
Okay.
I would stay with that for a couple of weeks, and then again keep the focus on adding. You will find that your sugar cravings have changed. Have your sugar cravings changed at all over the last couple of weeks?
They've just been aggravated a little bit just because of the of the reaction, and I think too.
Yeah.
You know, the other part of what I feel your program is about is letting joy in and making that transition.
yeah. and having joy in life. Because when you're in that kind of fat frame of mind, you know, you're really closed off. And
yeah, it's
you're
a fearful
really,
state,
you know,
exactly. You're in a
life.
Reactive, fearful state, exactly.
So,
that's exactly true.
Yeah, and so I'm and I think it's making, and you think you're, like, you've got really practical steps to do that transformation kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And so
okay.
I think there's a little bit of fear in not having that support from my family, and I'm all on my own.
Yeah, yeah.
kind
yeah.
of thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, all that's going to, That's okay. All that's going to get easier. It's going to take, it will take a little bit of time, but it's all going to get, it's only going to get easier and easier from here for you. That's what I'm feeling.
Yeah. So I just really won't like think about losing weight and just sort of just doing the checklist and then hopefully the sugar cravings will go away. Because once the sugar cravings go away, I think that's really my big thing is the emotional obesity.
Yeah, well, once the emotional obesity goes away, the sugar cravings go away, everything, and the weight goes away. But so what I would do is I would just give it a couple of months, where you're listening every morning to the visualization, listen to the eating one, but listen to, like, the one I just created is so ideal for you, the Living Goddess, really ideal for you. Listen to those in the morning for a couple of months. Keep the focus on adding nutrients to keep your blood sugar stable. And what will happen also, remember I talked about with omega-3 fatty acids, over time your body gets coated with a fat that allows your blood sugar to stay more stable and your insulin levels to lower, so you're not going to have low blood sugar episodes that cause blood sugar cravings. And the whole thing's going to unwind itself. But again, as you said, you know, this is not a lose 20 pounds in 20 days type of thing. This is a solve the problem forever thing.
No.
So give it a couple months. It's only going to get easier. You've done the work right now. Just keep the habits in place. It's only going to get easier for you.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Cool. All right. Cool.
Awesome. All right, thank you.
You're welcome. We got 10 minutes left. I'm going to take one more caller, and that's Lily from Wisconsin.
Hello, John.
Lily, you there? Hi, Lily. How are you?
Can you hear me? Good. How are you tonight?
I can hear you. Yeah, really good.
Good.
What's happening?
So the question that I have is two things have happened to me in my life that I can relate to creating emotional obesity, and
yeah.
both of them have something to do with sexual behavior.
Yeah.
And so I have not felt, you know, very safe when I'm thin. Because I get way too much attention. So through the visualizations, I've done the goddess visualization and the abundance and being safe, and that's really helped me. And so I'm feeling a shift, and I feel myself being safer.
Yeah.
And I guess the question now is becoming, when I'm eating the food, like I'll get up in the morning, and I won't really be hungry, but I'll eat something because I know that I need to. Something.
Yeah.
And so I'm finding that I'm not wanting to eat hardly anything throughout the day.
Okay. Lily, this is a really important question. And Jenny, when you hear this, make a point that this question is going. We're going to have to post this question so everybody can hear it. I want everybody to hear. This is a really important point. What I'm hearing from you is that you have made a very powerful shift. Your body doesn't want to hold on to weight anymore. So if that's the case, I would say for you, for now, at least for the next week, to try this. Do not eat when you're not hungry. Okay.
Okay,
that's different information than I've given to over the different classes, because I've talked about the importance of keeping your blood sugar stable, but I only give that information until you've addressed the real issue. Once you've addressed the real issue, your blood sugar is going to stay stable naturally, and your body wants to lose weight. So I would like you, for this week, to only eat when you're hungry. Now, if you find that doing that causes around 4 o'clock or 11 o'clock or after dinner sugar cravings because you've gone too long without eating and your blood sugar's lowered, it's not working for you anymore, you have to then go back to eating a GM breakfast in the morning and keeping your blood sugar stable and all the stuff I've talked about, you got to go back to it. If that's not happening, then all the rules go out the window for you now because you've made that shift. And I do feel that you've made that shift. I feel that very strongly. And the telltale message when you've made that shift is always that you're just not attracted to food anymore because your body's like, oh, I got to shift this weight. We don't need it anymore. Because your body wants to lose that weight. It wants to shift that weight, but as long as it feels that it can and that because you don't need it anymore. So you have made that shift. All the rules go out the window for you now. And this is true for everybody listening. Once you've made the shift, the rules go out the window. Eat whenever you want. But if you find that doing that causes low blood sugar episodes and junk food cravings, you've got to stop doing it. So Start trying to do that. And everybody else is listening out there. If they made a shift, and this is why we're going to post this answer probably on the homepage. Everybody that's listening, if you've made that shift, the rules go out the window. If you're not that hungry, don't eat. Try it, but then if it comes back to that place where you're having sugar cravings, you got to go back to regulating your eating. So that's it. So go ahead and do that. Okay.
So the other part of the question that I had is my fuse has become much shorter. Like little things will set me off, and then I was wondering about my blood sugar level. But you just said that the insulin level is going to sustain itself because I want to lose the weight. So
I'm gonna say that for everybody's different, and for the answer for this is on you. For some people that may be a bad thing. For you, that's a really good thing. Because that's you fighting back. That's you having strong boundaries. You're reclaiming your power. Now, maybe for years you didn't want to upset somebody. They could get mad. They could do something. They could hurt you. You know, that's what was happening. That's not happening anymore. You're like, screw this. I'm taking my power back. Screw you. That's where you're at right now. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Exactly,
that's exactly. You got to go with that. That shortness for you is your boundaries. People are touching your boundaries, and mostly your boundaries were more of like a revolving door where anyone in your family could just go right through because, what if I upset them and da 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 da. You know what I mean? Now you've got this alarm on your boundaries saying, no, screw, you know, you've got this button right now. That's going off every time they touch the door that everybody knew that they could touch. They're not doing it anymore. It's not happening anymore. So you go with that, okay? And take it where it's going to take you, but your boundaries are stronger. You've made the shift. All the rules are going out the window for you now, okay? It's just a question of letting the process take its to do its thing now, okay?
So, when I do the digestive enzymes then, do I just, whenever I do eat something, just do it with that? Can I take two at one time?
Okay. Yeah. The rules are going out the window for you. The digestive enzymes, I would say are important for you because you've got to undo years of problems, digestive problems. But you're only going to need to do that for a short period of time. Do that for like a month or 2 months or something like that. But pretty soon you're at a place now where the rules are going out the window. Okay?
Super. Thank you, John.
Good.
Okay.
You go with it. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. We'll talk. You know what? We forgot one caller, Neil, and we just got a couple of minutes. Let me see if I can answer this call. And it's Karen from Victoria. Karen, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, John. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hello. Can you hear me, John? Good.
I can hear you just fine. Hi.
Great. I've got a question. I'm scheduled in for an operation in a few weeks, after this pause is finished, and I imagine it will just cause a lot of like traumatic stress for my body. And I was wondering if I don't know, I should cancel it. It's a tonsillitis, like a tonsil operation, or if you have tips on how to not let those stresses turn into my fat programs back on.
Okay, if it's a tonsil, if it's for tonsillitis and it's a tonsil operation, I would spend the next week learning as much as I can about it, getting some other opinions about whether something actually has to come out of your body. Because to me, taking something out of your body is the very, very last thing you do. That's not always the traditional medical paradigm. I want you to do what your doctor's telling you, but I'm pleading with you to get as many different opinions right now as you can from whatever licensed alternative healthcare practitioners are out there, or alternative medical practitioners that are out there that do have a similar idea that taking something out of the body is the last thing you do. Because when you take something out of the body, you don't get it back. And I've had people, you know, where they've taken their thyroid out, and maybe if they had spent a couple of months working on getting their system, their functioning better, maybe that wouldn't have happened. But their thyroid's out now, so. So I don't want you to go against your doctor. I'm not a doctor. Maybe they have to come out, but maybe they don't. And I think if it was me, I would go to the ends of the earth to figure out, is there some way to save that part of my body? So I just want to, I'm asking you to do that. And if the answer is no,
I've actually, I've actually already done that. I've seen like 3 alternative practitioners and 2 GPs. The opinions are very diverse. And to be honest, I'm not convinced they have to come out, except I've come down with another tonsillitis attack just yesterday, which I don't know. It's a hard one.
It's a hard one, but if they're not, if you're not convinced they have to come out, I'm just going to leave it with you and just say that this is your body and this is a fact-finding mission for you. But I would definitely try to see what alternatives are out there. Even though you have had another tonsillitis, I just think that some doctors will say you're crazy, it's got to come out, and maybe they're right, maybe they're not. If other doctors are saying that that's not the case, I'd give it a couple of weeks at least and say, okay, you're saying it's not the case. How much time do you need to deal with this? Is it a week? Is it a month? Is it 6 months? Because once it's out, it's out. So if there's someone out there that's a doctor that's licensed, qualified, respected, and you trust them, and they're saying it might not have to come out, then I would give yourself that time. Now, if you do decide that you have to have the surgery and they are coming out, what I would do in your visualization is I would imagine that surgery and I would imagine there's this tremendous protective light around you, whether it's angels, guardian angels, God, however you perceive protection. They're in the room. They're wrapping their arms around you in the surgery. They're protecting your throat and they're protecting your body. I would do that in your visualization every day leading up to the surgery so that the actual event causes you less stress when it's happening and helps improve your chances, you know, your healing rate. Okay.
Right, thank you.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Cool. So Neil, we've just got a minute left, so I just want to say, you know, thanks everyone. These were great calls today. We are going to post that one on the homepage that I just spoke that we just did from Lily, and we have our video blog, which any questions that we didn't answer today, and there were a few from Core Lesson 4 that we didn't answer, we'll do in the video blog in a couple of days. We film that video blog on Monday, then it's on your site on Tuesday nights in the U.S., or no, Monday nights in the U.S., Tuesday morning in Australia. You'll have the video blog to answer any other questions. So I hope you guys have a great week. It sounds to me like people are really doing fabulous in making shifts and progress. I've never done this 6-week course before, but this is an amazing way to do things because we get to work through things, you know, each week, work through whatever comes up. It's a great opportunity. I'm loving it, and I'm loving working with you guys. So I look forward to speaking next week. Class number 5 is going to be about physical energy, more about things like exercise and activating to get thin or get eating adaptation, and having more energy and working further toward getting your body to want to be thin. So we'll speak soon. Neil, have a great weekend.
All right, man.
All right.
Stick to your checklist. Stick to your visualizations.
Yep, I agree. Thanks for that. We'll speak soon. Take care, everybody.